Imagine a Father's Day without your child. Well, for Father's Day 2005, it's a reality I'm enduring. This is Michael M. Bell. My oldest son, Michael, was shot and killed by a Kenosha police officer last November. I'm here to ensure that this doesn't happen to your child or sibling. In 20 years of DA inquests in Milwaukee County, not a single officer has been charged in the shooting of a citizen. Four fatal shootings by Kenosha police officers in the past 22 months occurred without a follow-up inquest. A new review system is necessary. This is about restoring confidence and respect between our community and law enforcement. This is about giving families a chance to ask questions and get honest answers about the death of a loved one. It is about other communities nationwide, well ahead of Kenosha and the state of Wisconsin. I encourage everyone to visit www.michaelbell.info. Watch the patrol car footage. Read the crime lab report. Make your own judgment. Most importantly, contact your government representative and ask, what are you doing so that this doesn't happen to another family?
This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of June 30th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad cop.
No, donut.
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut.
It's under the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. First, an update to a story we told you about a few months ago. On our May 5th program, we broadcast an interview with Christina Agola, a lawyer representing two East Rochester, New York women who had filed a lawsuit claiming they were abused by East Rochester police officer William Connell. In this excerpt from our interview, Agola tells us what happened to Connell's victims.
Teresa Arenas, who is a daycare provider, a 47-year-old daycare provider who has no criminal record whatsoever, was at a local tavern with a bunch of friends and her sister when she exited the bar to have a cigarette. She was immediately tackled by a gentleman who we now know as Officer Connell. She was body slammed to the ground. She was virtually lifted off of the ground and slammed to the ground in front of about approximately 10 to 15 witnesses. Eight of those witnesses we already have under oath in sworn statements who corroborate what I just recited, that she was actually body slammed out of nowhere by this officer, placed into handcuffs, face down to the ground. She was screaming for help. The crowd became enraged. They were basically screaming, you know, she didn't do anything. Leave her alone. Stop. And the officer called for backup from the Monroe County Sheriff's Department. I think because he felt cornered. I think he felt afraid of the crowd. In any event, the Sheriff's Department did arrive, and Ms. Arenas was lifted off the ground, put into the back of the police car, eventually taken to the emergency room of a local hospital, and suffered blunt trauma to her left shoulder, which was a rotator cuff surgery site for which she's, you know, undergone physical therapy for, and underwent some great, you know, psychic trauma over that event, I think as anybody would. Samantha Hyman was at first communicating solely with Ms. Arenas, and she was telling her that, yeah, well, Connell follows me around. He harasses me. At one instance, he took my head and put it into a snowbank, threatened to taser me, and basically calls me a fucking idiot and other choice expletives. Hyman is a intellectually challenged, mentally disabled female, 24 years old. She's on Social Security disability. She lives with her mother. One evening, February 2nd, she had contacted the police because she feared that her ex-boyfriend was attempting to sexually assault her. She called the police. Police came to the scene. They went to interview the alleged harasser. They came back 15 minutes later and told her, we don't believe you. She said, well, fine, you don't believe me. From that point forward, the stories conflict. Her story is that they began to throw snowballs at her and basically were calling her a fucking idiot and this and that. This is Officer Connell. Connell then followed her into her apartment building, grabbed her by the back of the neck. She fell over a bench that was in the hallway. She was on her back. He mounted her, essentially, had his knee in her sternum. Ms. Hyman, as a sidebar, is about 120 pounds, 5'5". Connell is about 300 pounds, 5'11". He then proceeded to taser her in the stun gun mode, what we call drive stun, on right above her labia, on her inner thigh. He then lifted her shirt up and then shot her on the breast.
This week, the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle reported that two new lawsuits have been filed in the case, which accuse East Rochester police of harassment and intimidation of witnesses to the original two incidents. The new lawsuits allege that in at least one case, the officer who is accused of violating the rights of the two original victims, William Connell, is himself accused of intimidating a witness by engaging her in a brief false pursuit and then driving off. Friends of Teresa Arenas tell us that she is no longer staying in her own home at night because she's in fear for her safety, preferring instead to stay with close friends and family members. The chief of the East Rochester Police has asked the Monroe County Sheriff's Department to investigate the incidents described in the original lawsuits. East Rochester is a town of about 6,000, just outside the city of Rochester, New York.
I was hoping that the CHP report would be here today so that the family can get through this, and I'm hoping that it won't take forever, that this won't drag on in court forever.
Managing. Trying to manage.
A Sacramento, California police officer who killed a 13-year-old boy more than 4 weeks ago in a drunken hit-and-run collision has not yet been arraigned. KXTV reports that a second continuance was granted on Tuesday morning in the arraignment of Jason March, the accused officer. March was arrested after his SUV struck and killed the boy on March 31st. A field sobriety test conducted at the time of his arrest, moments after the collision, determined that March was under the influence of alcohol. The family of the victim is unhappy that the officer has not been charged with vehicular manslaughter or driving while impaired. Instead, he faces a sole felony hit-and-run charge. Prosecutors say that March may face more charges in the future. In the meantime, his arraignment is presently scheduled to take place on July 20th, almost 2 months after the incident. There was some disturbing testimony this week at a preliminary hearing for a Fulton, Missouri police officer charged with molesting a family member. The Columbia Daily Tribune says that Officer Danny Vaught is facing charges of child molestation, attempted statutory rape, and tampering. On Monday, Vaught's daughter, who is now 14 years old, testified that her father began showing her pornographic movies in 2002. She says that summer he took her to his bedroom where a pornographic movie was playing and told her he wanted to have sex with her. He then fondled her genitals. The girl also testified about other similar incidents. She also testified that he would occasionally leave her stories to read at night about sexual activity between a father and daughter. She said he would always collect the stories the following morning. She said that she was given an explicit story written by her father in December, which she copied into a notebook. The next day, she said that her father told her that she was going to lose her virginity that day, placed her on her bed, and got on top of her. She testified that she escaped by pretending to hyperventilate. Finally, she testified that her father threatened to kill her if she told anyone about the abuse, and that both parents had pressured her to lie so that Officer Vaught would not get into trouble. A trial date for the case has been set for July 11th. A police officer in Mason City, Iowa, was found guilty last Friday of sexually assaulting his former girlfriend. An Associated Press report says that Officer Dan Mason had been charged with third-degree sexual assault, but that the jury convicted him of a lesser charge of assault with intent to commit sexual abuse. Mason faces 2 years in prison when he is sentenced on August 8th. Mason is still facing two other sexual abuse charges relating to separate incidents. An Illinois state trooper was arrested Thursday for a second time after being accused of forcing another couple to strip during a traffic stop. This time, the alleged incident took place on April 29th in Gurnee, Illinois. The Daily Herald says that Jeremy Dozier has been charged with official misconduct after he allegedly forced a couple to remove their clothing and run around a construction site naked. He was already facing charges relating to a similar incident which took place earlier this month. Dozier is free on bonds totaling $8,000, and he's facing a possible 5-year prison term for each of his misconduct charges. A former police officer in Bristol, Indiana, was arrested last Wednesday for allegedly sexually abusing a young girl over a decade, beginning when she was 5 years old. The Elkhart Truth reports that Officer Gary Ryman is charged with 3 felony counts of sexual misconduct with a minor. Another Bristol police officer, Ron Biller, was recently arrested on similar charges. Ryman faces 8 years in prison on each of his 3 charges if he is convicted. A former police officer in nearby Elkhart is wanted in connection with a bank robbery, which took place on June 16th in Moline, Illinois. Clifton Davidson is accused of armed robbery in that case. He became a suspect when a witness noted the license plate of the vehicle driven by the armed robber. A police officer in Luna Pier, Michigan, was accused last week of sexually abusing children. WTVG reports that Officer James Askamit has been arrested and charged with child sexually abusive activity, using a computer to commit a crime, and disseminating sexually explicit material to minors. Askamit was also accused by investigators of trying to meet an undercover officer who he thought was a child for the purpose of having a sexual encounter.
It's a matter to which he gave great consideration. He was blessed to have a family that were around him throughout the time that he was considering this. It was a result of a great deal of thought, and he was ready today to do what he determined to do.
I think it's an appropriate disposition. It's one that was discussed with the victims in the case with their approval. I think it sends a message that this type of activity is simply not tolerated. And again, I'm satisfied he's waived appeal, and this will permit some closure to the criminal case.
A police officer in Watertown, New York, pleaded guilty last week to shooting a man and kidnapping his former girlfriend. The Associated Press says that Michael Van Waldick pleaded guilty to attempted murder for the shooting and to kidnapping for the abduction of his ex-girlfriend. He will be sentenced on August 15th. A New York State Police investigator has been accused of molesting 3 boys aged 10 to 16 over the past 10 years. The Associated Press reports that Officer Stephen Kotzen has been charged with 2 counts of first-degree committing a criminal sexual act and 1 count of second-degree committing a criminal sexual act. Kotzen was arrested last week and has been suspended without pay from his job.
This is a picture of a cocaine dealer who ultimately became a police officer. He was involved in the drug business while he was on duty in the city.
And to think that somebody in a position of trust like a police officer is involved in this nefarious activity is really chilling.
A New York City transit officer who worked at Grand Central Station has been arrested after he was documented selling over 1 kilogram of cocaine over a 7-month investigation. According to the New York Post, Officer Donald Howell was arrested last Friday and charged with multiple offenses, including felony sale of a controlled substance and conspiracy to distribute cocaine. He is facing 25 years in prison if convicted. He is currently being held on a $500,000 cash bail. A Portland, Maine police officer pleaded guilty last Thursday to criminal trespassing. An Associated Press report says that in April, a woman woke up to find Officer Stephen Taylor in her bedroom. She had invited the officer over earlier in the evening and then changed her mind. Taylor was accused of breaking into the woman's house by using a tool from his truck to force open a lock. Taylor was fined $1,000 and has been fired from the police department.
This man was the second in command of the Wolfboro Police Department and the town where they live.
It's about perceptions and memories. And memories are not perfect.
A police officer in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, is on trial for sexually abusing an 11-year-old boy in 1987. WMUR reports that Officer Robert Tierney's previous conviction for sexually abusing two minors was thrown out after it was determined that the two cases should have been tried separately. In the new case, Tierney is facing nearly 100 sexual assault charges. Investigators say that the officer would have wrestling matches with the boy that would end up with both of them unclothed. He is also accused of engaging in sexual contact with the boy during the weekly showers that the officer took with his son. The boy's mother told authorities of the abuse in 1988, but refused to file a formal complaint. The boy came forward on his own in 2000, and an investigation was launched, which led to the officer losing his job. Tierney's second trial on the charges is ongoing. A police officer in East Providence, Rhode Island, was arraigned last week on charges connected to the beating of a man during an arrest. The East Providence Post says that Officer Jason Francis was charged with assault with serious bodily injury, assault with a dangerous weapon, simple assault, and filing false documents. He is currently free on bail. A pretrial hearing is scheduled for September 15th. An investigation by the Boston, Massachusetts Police Department has determined that two police officers lied to investigators who were looking into the death of a celebrating baseball fan last October. A woman was killed after she was struck in the eye by a pepper spray projectile fired by Boston police officers. The woman's family received a settlement worth more than $5 million from the city. According to the Boston Globe, the two officers in question have not been identified, and details of the alleged lies are not known. A Galloway, New Jersey police officer who had sex with a 17-year-old high school student will not serve any time in jail. The Press of Atlantic City says that Officer Eric Allen will serve 2 years of probation and 180 days of electronically monitored house arrest. He pleaded guilty to official misconduct after he was arrested in April. His guilty plea on the misconduct charge means that he is barred from public employment. A Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey police officer was charged with impaired driving after being accused of being responsible for a five-vehicle pileup. An Associated Press account says that Officer Patrick Flynn was driving on Route 35 on Saturday when he struck a vehicle that had stopped for a bridge opening from behind. Three other vehicles were also struck from behind. 10 people were taken to hospital to be treated for their injuries. Flynn was also taken to hospital and is currently on medical leave from his job while an investigation is conducted. A police officer in Fairchance, Pennsylvania, was ordered to stand trial this week after beating up a childhood enemy outside of a Uniontown bar. An Associated Press report says that Kenneth Bittinger has been charged with aggravated and simple assault in connection with an incident where he's accused of beating a man who he had briefly exchanged a few words with at the bar. When his victim left, hoping to avoid the officer, he found Bittinger outside waiting for him. The officer then allegedly attacked the man, beating and kicking him. He has been suspended from his job. A police officer in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, is being sued by 5 people who accuse him of brutality, false arrest, and harassment. The Associated Press says that Officer Jeremy Reams was accused by 3 of the plaintiffs in the suit of falsely arresting a child for not having a light on his bicycle and then physically assaulting 2 men who attempted to intervene. A couple who are also plaintiffs in the suit claim that the same officer attempted to break up their marriage by arresting the wife and then telling her husband that she was having sex with another man in his squad car. The lawsuit also names the police department and the city as defendants.
Oh my God, how could they do that? What is wrong with those people? Are they crazy?
In Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania, the chief of police and one of his detectives have been charged with harassment. WCAU reports that Chief James Padgett and Detective Brian Logue sent sexually explicit messages to other officers and a government official. A complaint detailed 45 text messages which are so vulgar and filled with expletives that federal broadcast regulators will prevent you from ever hearing their content on the radio. Padgett and Logue were observed on a security video using a computer in a copy shop, which was determined to be the source of the offensive messages. The two surrendered to authorities last Thursday. Logue was already on disability leave and will remain so until the case is resolved. Padgett has been placed on administrative leave and is facing more than 36 harassment charges. An Elizabethtown, Kentucky police officer who had pleaded guilty to child pornography charges was sentenced to 6 years in prison last Thursday. WLKY says that Officer Brian Lesore admitted to receiving images of children engaged in sex acts from the internet. An investigation of the officer was launched after he was arrested in 2004 for exposing himself to a busload of school children. A police officer in Durham, North Carolina, was arrested on Friday for an incident of domestic violence. WRAL reports that Officer D.S. Culver has been charged with simple assault. He's been placed on administrative duty with pay.
She keep asking you what? Look here. Look at me. Talk to him. You better start listening to him. You understand me? It's what stuff, what stuff, what stuff. You're going to go to jail. You want to go to jail? You know what that means?
A Richland County, South Carolina, sheriff's deputy pleaded guilty last Tuesday to simple assault and battery and was fined less than $600. The Associated Press reports that Deputy David Byerly poked a woman with his flashlight at a traffic stop on March 8th when he became frustrated by the fact that the driver could not speak English. A review of videotapes of the officer's traffic stops revealed that Brierley treated Black and Latino drivers differently than he treated white drivers. Brierley was fired from his job last month. A sheriff's deputy in Cook County, Tennessee, has been arrested and charged with possessing and selling drugs. The Knoxville News Sentinel reports that Deputy Larry Dodgen appeared in court last Monday to face charges of possession of 500 grams of cocaine with intent to distribute. The deputy is being held in custody. He was arrested after he purchased 3 kilograms of cocaine from an undercover FBI agent. If convicted on his charges, Dodgen faces between 5 and 40 years in prison and a possible $2 million fine. He is on unpaid leave pending the outcome of his trial. A woman in Springfield, Tennessee, says that she was the victim of a brutally excessive police officer during an arrest last Tuesday. WKRN says that as the woman opened her car door to exit her car, the door brushed against Officer Billy Moyer. Moyer reacted by pepper spraying the woman, dragging her out of her car by her hair, and throwing her to the ground and placing his knee in her back. The incident was witnessed by one of the woman's friends and another police officer who was present but did nothing to stop Moyer. Moyer is now under investigation for the alleged brutality and also for not turning on the video camera in his patrol car, an offense he has been found guilty of in the past. A police officer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who was fired for having sex in his patrol car while he was on duty, has failed in his attempt to get his job back. WTVC reports that Officer Patrick Wells was fired last month after an investigation revealed his misconduct. His attempt to be reinstated as a police officer was denied on Monday. The former chief of police in Crossville, Alabama, was sentenced last Friday to 5 years in prison for the 1997 rape of a 10-year-old. The Fort Payne Times-Journal says that Ronald West was convicted on the rape charge earlier this year. West will remain free on bond pending his appeal of the conviction. A police officer in Biloxi, Mississippi, accused of selling drugs, has resigned from the police department. WLOX reports that Officer Daryl Svitanovich resigned last week. He was arrested 3 weeks ago for selling ecstasy and possession with intent to distribute. He is currently free on bond. A Mississippi state trooper pleaded guilty last Thursday to violating the rights of a 17-year-old during an August 2003 traffic stop. The Brookhaven Daily Leader says that trooper John Kevin Smith was charged with unreasonable use of force after the 2003 incident. The incident, which was captured by a camera in the trooper's car, clearly shows the force used on his victim, the trooper grinding the boy's face into the pavement without justification. Smith also admitted to attempting to obstruct an investigation of the incident. Smith told the parents of the victim that the videotape of the incident did not exist when they asked for it. Smith has been forced to resign from the state patrol prior to his September sentencing. Smith faces a possible 1 year in prison and a $100,000 fine. A Louisiana state trooper was charged last week with running a bookmaking operation out of his home and from the office in Metairie, where he worked as a member of a drug task force. An Associated Press report says that Trooper Warren Ayo has been charged with malfeasance, money laundering, and gambling by computer. He is free on bonds totaling $23,000. An investigation of the officer has been ongoing for 7 months. Another Louisiana state trooper was accused this week by internal investigators of engaging in conduct unbecoming an officer. KPLC says that a man who had suffered a heart attack was being rushed to hospital by his wife when Trooper John Parker attempted to pull their car over for speeding. The woman did not stop her car until she arrived at the hospital and proceeded to inform the trooper that her husband had a heart attack. Instead of allowing her to get treatment for her husband, Parker forced the woman to wait at the rear of her vehicle while he wrote a citation. Later that night, the woman's husband died. Parker could be fired from his job. He has 30 days to appeal the findings of the investigators. The chief of police in Opelousas, Louisiana, who was already facing a number of criminal charges, is now facing even more. The Associated Press reports that Chief Larry Calle has been facing 5 charges since May relating to his failure to send officers to the scene of a fight at a school bands competition. He is now facing 21 new charges, including obstruction, payroll fraud, conspiracy, and money laundering. He is also accused of threatening to kill a police officer who agreed to testify against him. Calle, who is free on bond as of last Wednesday, is still the chief of police. A police officer in Anchorage, Alaska, was arrested last Thursday and charged with sexual abuse of a minor. KTVA reports that Officer Sammy Cohen is charged with 5 counts of sexual abuse of a minor, 10 counts of unlawful exploitation of a minor, and 6 counts of possession of child pornography after a 4-month federal investigation. Cohen is accused of abusing a 14-year-old girl over a 2-year period. 2 North Bay, Ontario police officers are facing separate trials on December 14th. The North Bay Nugget reports that Officer Sean Burns is facing charges of extortion and criminal harassment. He's accused of a pattern of behavior dating back to 1999, which includes harassing a woman by repeatedly following her, communicating with her, and watching her home. He is also facing charges of unauthorized use of a handgun and careless storage of a gun. Officer Christy LaFrance is accused of striking a handcuffed prisoner in the head in October 2002. LaFrance has resigned from the police department and Burns is suspended. Neither are being held in custody. The family of a 17-year-old boy who was shot and killed by police here in Toronto last May is seeking a court order to force the province of Ontario's Special Investigations Unit to turn over their report, which details their investigation of the killing. According to a Canadian press report, police say the boy held a knife when police shot him 3 times. The boy's family claims that witnesses say that the boy was not carrying a knife and that the officers who shot him did not identify themselves as police officers. The Special Investigations Unit subsequently cleared the officers involved of any wrongdoing. A coroner's inquest into the death has been announced, but no date for the inquest has been set. Since 2000, police in Ontario have shot and killed 21 people. Only one police officer has ever faced charges connected to any of those fatal shootings.
The M26 has reduced injuries to officers by up to 80%. The M26 has saved millions of dollars in litigation. And it has saved over 1,000 lives. The technology revolution of the M26 created a pulse that has changed law enforcement forever.
A 33-year-old woman in Whitfield County, Georgia, died last Wednesday after being shocked by police with a taser after she behaved strangely. The family of the woman had called for medical help, but the police arrived first and had difficulty dealing with the woman, whose family acknowledges suffers from a mental illness. Last Friday, a woman in Fort Worth, Texas, died after being shocked with a taser by police. She's the third person in Fort Worth to die in a taser-related incident in the past 8 months. A man in Miami, Florida, died on Wednesday after being shocked with a taser by police there. A sheriff's deputy used a taser on a 13-year-old girl who was drunk and unruly at a hospital in Bonita Springs, Florida, last week. The deputy claims he was attacked by the 4-foot-9-inch, 90-pound girl. Police in Martins Ferry, Ohio, used a taser on an 82-year-old man last week when he walked away from police as they were questioning him about urinating in a city park. Police in Niagara Falls, New York, used a taser on a 19-year-old man who they observed carrying an orange traffic cone down the street early Sunday. After the electrocution, the man was arrested for possession of a small amount of marijuana, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. Criminal charges will not be filed against the Pacifica, California police officers who were involved in a taser-related death earlier this year, according to the San Mateo County District Attorney. A coroner determined that the 11 taser shocks and the man's struggle with police both contributed to his death. The man's family has filed a $30 million lawsuit claiming that the officers violated the man's civil rights. The widow of a man who died after being shocked repeatedly with a taser while restrained by Gwinnett County, Georgia sheriff's deputies earlier this year says she plans to file a lawsuit. The woman's lawyers made the announcement last Friday. A coroner has ruled as a homicide the death of a man who died after being shocked by Las Vegas police with a taser. The man died on June 6th after police were called to remove a man from a casino. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals is urging the U.S. Justice Department to withdraw its $500,000 in funding for a University of Wisconsin study that will see tasers tested on pigs. The group says that Taser International performed tests on animals in 2002, and for those tests, necessary approval from federal regulators was not obtained. Taser International has described their past animal testing as crucial to the development of their life-saving weapons.
An extremely serious and dangerous circumstance when you're out there by yourself with three individuals and you don't know why they're running other than a hit and run. And then they go to a dead end and you're the only officer out there.
Did your officer feel like his life was in danger at this point when he had the fire shots?
Yes, sir, did.
I have no idea at this time what their reasoning was or what they were thinking.
Other than the killings already reported on this week's program, police also killed people this week in San Diego, California, Bellevue, Washington, Springfield, Oregon, Frederick, Maryland, Lake Mary, Florida, and Gladewater, Texas. That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Tune into this station next week for more. If you'd like to contact us with your comments and story ideas, please feel free to do so. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in stories for this week's show. We count on you to keep us up to date on what the police are doing where you live. From 88.1 FM CKLN in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich.
Just as the first.